Welcome to this week's episode of Retain FM, and I am delighted and honoured and privileged to be joined by Mr. Joseph Bojang on the call. Mr. Joseph Bojang, welcome to the show.
Hello, Pete. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, mate. I will not call you Mr. Joseph Bojang for the entire thing. That's something that's going to set us both up for a fail, I feel. So let's just go with Joseph.
Okay.
Joseph and I have known each other for around about a year. We've been in a mastermind group together. We've done a number of calls and stuff together. We have a good number of mutual friends. And Joseph does some awesome TikTok stuff, which we're going to get onto in a minute. But do you want to introduce yourself and just explain a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what you've done in the past, all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my name is Joseph. I'm here in Oklahoma in the United States. Most people don't know where that's at. I usually say it's right above Texas, and then they kind of get an idea. But I'm a business owner like you, Pete. I have a marketing agency, but also I have a deep passion in personal development. So if people are online and they're ever on TikTok and they're interested, they'll see that my TikTok is not so much about marketing or what my business does, but it's mostly about personal development. You know, I love just the idea of people going after things that are important to them, that help other people. So when you're a business owner, helping your clients is always a really good thing to do, but then we also have to help ourselves. And I think that's where personal development comes in. And it's always been a passion as well. So glad to be here with you. And to really just be a part of your community, and looking forward to what we'll talk about.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you. It really is a delight to have you here. So if we rewind the clock, probably not too far, actually, probably maybe about a year or so ago to the time we kind of met. You were running an advertising agency, a very successful advertising agency. You'd got to a point where you had a team around you. So thankfully, some of the work wasn't reliant on you, which was a great place to be. And you were starting to explore other avenues. So do you want to just unpack a little bit about sort of what life was like, let's say 18 months ago for one of them?
Yeah. So I actually think it's weird to travel along with people that remember your history. So I would say anyone that's listening to this, if you're ever able to get into a mastermind with people that can remind you of where you were months ago, that's very helpful, because in my head, I'm thinking, I know that that's happened, but even hearing you talk about it brings just a certain level of witness of, oh, these things really did happen. I have been thinking about this for a while. So the big thing is, I think I got to a point in my business where it was running the way that I would like for it to run, meaning that people knew about me. I was getting hired. I was getting clients. It was pretty simple to move forward in a marketing business, running ads, doing marketing funnels for clients. But then there was a part to where I do and did want to do more and free up my time. And I think a lot of business owners go through that, from solo entrepreneur to entrepreneur. And for me to do that meant that I really needed to make some changes in my business, but then also pursue things that were more aligned with all my interests. And it's very popular in the marketing world to talk about one specific thing so that you can grow your business. Like, you know, you niche down and do SEO, or you niche down and do ads, or do this social media. You do something specific. And sometimes that just gives like one portion or one segment of a person, of their life. And I felt like I got to a point to where I was known for one thing, but also felt like I was not open enough to talk about the other things, or I felt like I was constrained. I could only talk about marketing. And a lot of the times when I would talk to people, my clients, or do a coaching call, it wasn't the marketing that they needed help with, but it was their attitudes and their beliefs about what they were trying to achieve. And a lot of that really was that personal development piece. So I had this conflict, as you could say, that I'm thinking, well, the business is going good. I want to talk about this other topic, but I don't have any avenues to do that. So, you know, with your help and with the help of other people in the mastermind, I was able to really start stepping into just topics of improvement. And that's what I went to school for. My master's degree is actually in human potential, human development. So it's not something that's just a recent interest, but something I've been interested in for decades. And so I started making that shift. And now I'm really happy just with the help that I've gotten from you all and just sharing what I know with other folks. So it's been a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like the way actually how you mentioned about the power of the mastermind. This isn't kind of what we were here to talk about. But, you know, I was opened up to masterminding maybe 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and went into it very skeptically. I was very cynical of almost everything that happened. But I really did find the first mastermind I was part of was a bigger group. And we met physically a number of times a year, but you then kind of worked round tables. And of course, that meant that each time you met, you were maybe with slightly different people. Whereas the mastermind we're part of is a small group. It's a fixed number. And actually having now done that for a year or more, really getting to understand the people, their businesses, their values, their beliefs, what they're trying to achieve, and likewise how they then start to understand that about you, that and the personal connections that then happen because of that, it really is a very different picture. There's so much power in having that kind of forum. A business mentor of mine from the past always used to say that the only stupid question is the one that you don't ask. And actually having that forum to talk about just the stupid things in that are going through your mind, but actually work those out and to keep you accountable. There's whole loads of parts to it. It really is awesome. And you know, to have a connection like we do right across the pond is brilliant.
Absolutely.
What got me to send, and I said this to you on the pre-call, what got me to send you the invite to say, hey, I got to have you on the show, was about 10 days ago or so, you put a TikTok video up. So you've been exploring a lot of this personal development stuff through your TikTok channel. We can have a link to that in the show notes. But you put this video up about willpower versus way power. Well, I'm not gonna try and ruin it by sort of butchering an explanation, but I, that was the thing that made me, that really spoke to me about understanding the difference between the will or the thing that you want to achieve, and then the way that you're going to get there, and how you break that down into smaller goals, smaller achievable steps.
Yeah.
So do you want to unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's important. I'll take a running start at it and kind of go back a little bit. Is this idea of way power and willpower really comes from this idea of hope, in that the original person that came up with hope theory as a science. So not hope is in something that you wish for, but hope defined as the idea that my future can be better than my present and I can make it happen. So in doing that, that one means that you're envisioning a goal, something that you want in life. It could be business related, it could be family related, it can be anything. And we wake up in the morning with goals, and we might not always realize it. We want to brush our teeth, we want to get ready for the day, got to get the kids out of the house, you know, into the classroom before we could start our day. All these things are miniature goals. But then we have larger goals, and those goals sometimes take more work. So everything starts with a goal. And in getting to these goals, we need way power. The best way to think of way power are pathways. A pathway can be understood as the easiest way is to think of a pathway to go from point A to point B. If you're walking from your home to a store, you have a pathway to get there. There's many paths you can take, but if you take a path that's too long, you might actually lose willpower. Willpower is your agency to make something happen. It's not so much your perception of whether or not you can do something, but it's actually your ability to get up and go make the thing happen. So when we look at willpower and way power in order to achieve a goal, we're really trying to understand the best pathways we have to actually stay on that pathway till we get to the goal. And I love the ideas of thinking of this is I have my wants, which are my goals, my ways, which is the way that I'm going to get there. And that could be a person. Sometimes it could be a knowledge gap. So when I think of our mastermind, you, Pete, and other folks in the group are ways for me to reach my goal. And you're a way for me to reach my goal because I can ask you questions. I can get feedback. You're an expert in being a business owner. You're an expert in SEO. So if I need to get a message out there, you are a potential way for me to reach that goal. So as people are thinking about this, is when we think of way power, we're thinking of different routes to get to our goal. But it's also important to realize that on every path, there's always going to be an obstacle. On every single path, there's always an obstacle. So not only do we have to think of many different pathways, we have to think of what do we do when that obstacle comes? How do we actually re-goal and come up with a new path? So that's a little bit about way power. The whole, way paths, whenever we think of willpower, we're really considering how we can keep motivated, stay motivated to actually go after the thing. And that's usually where it's really hard because we can lose motivation. We can not be disciplined enough. The path can seem too difficult to do. So in doing that, we're really trying to make the goal. If I wanted to get on a plane and go to London right now, the best thing for me to do would not figure out a plane ride that takes me to China, then to Africa, then back to America, and then to London, right? I would lose the will to get there. So as people are thinking of these terms, and you're thinking just your life, so anyone that's listening, like if you're thinking of the thing that you want in life, and sometimes that's hard. Sometimes we have to, you know, rethink about and reimagine what we want in life. But it's important to think, are you choosing the proper path? And you won't lose motivation to work that path to get your goal. I think that's the biggest question that people need to think about. And if that's a hard thing to do, then we start making the path shorter and we make our energy to achieve that goal easier to do.
I love the way you sum that up. It makes complete sense. We've spoken a lot on this show before about understanding what your picture of success looks like. That's the way I've phrased it, you know. So essentially your ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. But then we've also kind of separately also talked about, you know, setting goals in your business. Normally that happens around about Christmas time. And then we keep people accountable to stuff for quarters throughout the year and all that kind of stuff. Is there a concept in your mind where you have this kind of big goal and then break everything down into small goals, or you know, do you run multiples of these things all at once? How does that kind of mentality, I suppose, play out into, I'm going to say everyday life, I kind of mean everyday business life, but into everyday life?
Yeah. So I think there's a few points here, and I love how you said it. Say that one more time. You said it's the vision of, or how did you say that?
Your own picture of success.
Your own picture of success. Understanding
what the picture of success looks like.
So I believe that is absolutely correct. And I think we all have our own picture of success. And I'm going to say it starts there for people actually to spend time to understand what success means to them. Because a lot of the time we view our success dependent on what other people will think about us. What car should I drive? What should my website look like? What clothes should I wear? What should my skis look like if I'm out there on a scope? I could have a cheaper version, but people will think something of me if I have this version, right? So no matter what part of life we're in, we're always going to be in tension with this idea of our version of success and what other people think. And I think that's where it starts. From that point, we also have to understand is what success means to us changes throughout our life, throughout our business. So you had set mine up very nicely, is that what success looked like to me in business had changed. And I think it's important for people to consistently realize that meaning in your life is always going to change in your life and in your business. And if we understand that, we give ourselves the permission to move the goalposts on what success is. So a person starting out in their business initially might just be to have a business that brings in $2,500 a month or 2,500 pounds or whatever, whatever system they're using. That success is going to change because once you hit that 2,500, you're then going to want a new goal. You might want better systems so that you can scale to 10,000. So I think it's important for people to realize that in our life, we're all telling ourselves stories and we're trying to keep meaning cohesive in our life. And what that means is that once we reach a goal, we have to find new meaning. And to find new meaning means we really go back to this idea: is what does success mean to me? And if I can be clear on that, then I can actually start formulating good goals. So let me go from there now. So we're thinking about my vision of success is really hard. I know we're saying it, but it's really hard to do because you have to write it down. You have to see it often. You have to remind yourself, and then you have to remind yourself again. I can't put an exclamation mark on that enough. That's extremely important. Next, once we have that, we're then really just going out and testing things. You know, do I like this business? Do I like having a side business? Do I like working at this company? And that's really just living life and enjoying the journey. And I think a lot of us don't do that because we get so wrapped up into doing things for reasons that we realize no longer satisfy us. If I could today, for the rest of the day, I would just go read books and I would write. That's what I would do for the rest of the day, but I can't do that. So then I ask myself, well, why can't I do that? Because I'm living to some vision of success, whether I agree with it or not. And that's what happened to me when I had a job. So this might be helpful for some people listening. Before I started my company, I worked traditional 9-to-5 job and I enjoyed it. I was never one of those people that felt like everyone needed to be an entrepreneur. Everyone needed to go out and change the world. I didn't believe that. I just believed that you needed to enjoy the work that you're doing. But it got to a point to where I felt that the company I was working for didn't appreciate me, didn't appreciate, you know, the talents and skills, abilities I brought to the company. And they were just like, you're just another worker. So I started some steps. I figured out what I wanted. I started working towards that every single day by upgrading my skills, upgrading my capabilities, because I had an idea of where I want it to be. And that's one of the big things in any type of goal achievement, vision of success, is that you think about where you want to be and where you are now. And it's that gap in between that we're really trying to close, that gap between where we want to be. And that's the whole idea of hope, right? I have this idea that I want my teeth to be clean and they're not right now. So there's a gap. And I have to do something to close that gap. I want to lose a few pounds. I have to close that gap by changing a habit. So I think I had to change habits like many other folks do. So when I think about this vision of success, one, we have to define it. We look at it often. We have to start moving towards it. And there's this concept of a South Star and a North Star. North Star is the vision of success we want. That's what we want. But we also should write a South Star. The South Star is the thing that we don't want. So if I know I don't want to gain another 10 pounds, if I know that I want to lose 10 pounds, I also need to write what happens if I gain 10 pounds, so that we have these two visions of what we don't want to be. So it's easier to move towards habits that get us to the goal that we really want. So that's how I like to think of it for people, and realize that meaning and success is going to change. So be open to change. Be open to reimagining and reauthoring your story to move towards what you want. And people will say, you've changed. And then the answer is, I have. Because I want something new. I want something different. And we're supposed to change. And that's a good thing. But I think we're usually told that it's bad.
You know, there's sometimes such a stigma about people. Firstly, people often get so fixated with the end goal. That's one of the main things that you said, I think, or one of the things I picked up on that you just said was, you know, you need to of course have that vision of success, look at it often, remind yourself of it often, move towards it. But there is that journey, and some people get so fixated on the end product or the end result that they forget about the journey. I mean, you know, if you take, let's say your goal was to become a millionaire. The reality is that the day you become a millionaire means you get that final dollar to go from $999,999 to a million, doesn't it? I mean, that's all of a sudden you're now at a million, you're the millionaire. However, there's such a journey to get from where you are at, I don't know, $250,000 to the night. That's a far bigger step than that last little one. So that was the first thing that you said, that, you know, yeah, you do need to enjoy the journey, live the life, but with this drive, with this motivation to continue.
Pete, can I say one thing? Can I say one thing to that real quick that I think is awesome? I did a short video yesterday just about this idea of people, you know, they talk about manifestation or attracting what you want. And there's a lot of people here in America, maybe where you are too, where they go out, they play the lottery and they get what they want, but they've never become the person that they need to be to keep the money. So there's like this phenomenon that people get rich, but then they absolutely hate it because they never, and I think this is what you made me think of is, when I think of a want, I really think about becoming the person you need to be in order to keep it. Now, even though I'm thinking of the future, I'm focused on what's happening right now in my life. Am I becoming someone that can keep that $1 million, as you were saying? Like, am I focused on today? And if I'm not focused on today, I might get that thing, but not be the person that can keep it. And that's so vitally important. You just made me think of that when you were talking. So sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's absolutely fine. So the other thing, though, that I thought of while you were talking was, of course, if you're on a path, if that's your agenda, and there's a danger that if you purely think of this as kind of a self-centered, inward-looking concept, all of a sudden, everybody else in the world becomes an obstacle to your goal. Whereas actually, by acknowledging that, right, this is the plan, you know, that this is what I'm trying to do. This is the plan for my life. This is the way I'm structuring things. But actually, you are just on a plan for your life, structuring things for you to get to your goals. And somebody else over here is trying to do the same. And somebody else over there is trying to do the same. It kind of changes your outward opinion to other people as well, making them I suppose it means that dealing with conflict or I can't think what the opposite to conflict is, not love, but you know what I mean, but friendship and conflict essentially takes on a slightly different meaning. Those people that align with your values, beliefs, your journey, and those that don't. And if they don't, that is absolutely fine. You can rest in peace knowing that you know, you don't need to put any unwanted energy into that. So it's got a relational aspect to it, as well as a personal drive motivation to it. Am I overthinking at that point?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I always say there's no competitors, just collaborators. So when I think of a marketing business that I have, the best thing that I can do is realize I can't serve 7 billion people. And if I realize I can't serve 7 billion people, anyone else that does exactly what I do in marketing can be a collaborator, meaning that we can refer customers back and forth. Because there's customers I'm not going to want because they just don't align with my values. So I have my goals and where I'm going in my business or in my life. They have their values that are aligned to where they want to go in their business and in their life. And there's sometimes that there's just customers that just aren't for me. And if I view that other company that does exactly what I do with running ads on Facebook, on Google or whatever, I look at them as a collaborator. I can find affinity to where, hey, when I get this type of customer, I'm going to send it your way. And I think that's very important because I'm not competing with each other. I'm just living my life in harmony with other people. And that works. And I think it makes life much better. I'm not trying to manage other people. I'm not trying to hurt other people. I'm trying to do my best to live with them and help them because I know helping another person actually helps me in the long run. And yeah, I think that's really important for us. It's not just about us. And if we do focus on ourselves, we can actually help other people better.
Yeah, I think I think that's an important message for people to hear sometimes. One of the things I try and instill in my kids quite a lot is to have a purpose bigger than yourself, to see the picture that's bigger than just you. And maybe makes me sound like quite a sort of draconian father, which is not what I'm trying to, that's not the vibe I'm trying to go for. Maybe that's as small as, I was talking to my 8-year-old the other day who was, we were talking about playing better football, being part of a better football team. So, we talked about, it's not just about viewing the football that you're playing, but actually how you knit together into that bigger team a team has obviously one goal to win the match. But to acknowledge those people around you, to move around them, to notice where the spaces are that you can fill, to see where you can offer support to other people that may need it, maybe slightly ahead of them realizing they're going to need it. And, in playing a football match, we're in England, so I'm talking about soccer football.
Yeah, I get it. I made the connection.
But it's still the same thing though, isn't it? Playing a team sport, that's an obvious way of working things, but you don't always carry that mentality over into other parts of life. And actually, the world probably would be a better place if more of us did that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think to kind of give a practical tactical to that, so to anyone listening and even to myself as a reminder that having a vision bigger than ourselves is a good thing. And here are some ways that you can move towards that. I think of it like sifting for your talents. So we talk about the gold rush here in America, where people would go out west and they would have their little sifting baskets. They would put a lot of sand and hopefully gold in there, and they would move this basket back and forth, and you hope that the sand and rocks kind of fall through and the gold is what's left. And I think for people to actually live and develop into, because what you're saying is a very advanced concept. And most people, if you're busy in your day to day, you don't have time to think of that. So some ways to move towards that, I think it's important for people to realize you have to take time to sift the gold in your own life. And some ways to do that is to, one, just make a list of your skills that you have. Make a list of the things that you can do. Make a list of the things people pay you to do. Make a list of the things that you would like to learn and do better, because then it kind of gives you an idea of your role in your life and your role in relation to other people. So then you can actually start filling out where you fit. You can start getting a better picture, a map of your life. And I love personality type profile things that give you some insight, into your life. But they also help people understand why they respond and why they do things the way that they do. So to use your analogy in football, that if I know what my role is and I know what my talents are, if I'm a big guy and I can stand in front of a goalpost and prevent people from, kicking the ball in, there's certain things that I need to improve and there's certain assets I have. And it's helpful when I can actually list those and know them, because it builds confidence. And if we could build confidence, we can actually move past this idea of just trying to be competent. But once we build confidence, we actually build capabilities. And that allows people to actually move forward and fill out where they need to go. And they can be more improvisational in life and in work, to where at work, they're not just doing their role, but they're coming to their boss or in their company, they're figuring out new ways to actually give more and do more. And as they do that, it's a very practical way to get more meaning in your life and to move towards this idea of a large vision. And I think people struggle with that because no one really teaches that. Like, it's not taught in school. It's not taught on the job. Like, where are you going to learn that unless you're reading books? And then sometimes you read the book, it's so high level that it's not helpful. So I'm glad you brought that up. And I just want people to realize that no matter your age, doesn't matter if you're 20, doesn't matter if you're 70, there's things that we can still list out that we are able to give to other people and improve to help our life, to help others. And it always provides meaning, because meaning changes when we are 70 and we can't do what we used to do when we're 30, or when we're 20 and we don't have the assets, the money, or the team to do what we can do when we're 40. So I think that's very important for people to know what they can contribute, and it lets them know how they can contribute and move about the field of life.
Ah, there we go. There's the sign of a true pro, when you can carry the analogy all the way on to the end. Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it.
I feel corny now. That's funny.
Well, you did actually. So the next thing I was going to ask you, but you sort of preempted this, was, you know, so we've talked a lot about the theory, but if people actually wanted to, you know, just start dipping their toe into the water, because this thing can be transformational. It can be as huge as you want to make it. But if they want to start and take the first step, where would they start? That was what I was going to ask. And you've kind of answered that with, you know, creating those lists, thinking objectively about it, and having, you know, understanding what that picture looks like. I mean, is there anything else you'd add to that as we sort of come into land with this episode?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say, before you go out and change the world, clean your car, clean your office desk, clean your room, clean the small things to show that you actually have dominion of your life. One of the worst things is for someone to go out and try to help the world, but they can't help themselves. And a lot of the times when people do that, they're overextending, and that's where burnout comes in. That's where depression, that's where all the bad stuff happens. But if you're able to take care of your own life, whenever you reach out and you help others, you're actually doing it from overflow. And I think that's the best way to help people. So when I used to work at a school, and I remember parents would drive up with their kids, they'd open the door for their kid to get out, and then like some fast food trash would fall out the car or something like that. And I think to myself, I'm like, man, they're just doing what they can. You know, they're doing what they can to get by. I'm glad I'm here to help with their kids. But it was also a reminder for me that before I go out and try to do stuff, make sure that my life is in order. Because if my life is in order, I'm actually helping people with things that are helping me. And it's not just theory. A lot of people go out there. I was telling my wife this, and this might be controversial, but I'm tired of seeing the 18-year-old kid say, I quit my job and now I'm a social media expert and I'm here to help you. You know, I'm here to help you change your life. And I'm like, move out your parents' home first, you know, get a job and do something and then help people out, you know? And yeah. I think that's very important for all of us. It's a good reminder, as much as I'm saying this now, it's a good reminder for me that if I don't do it for myself first and I'm trying to do it for others, that's usually where things can go very badly, because I'm overextending myself. So do it out of overflow. Fill yourself up first. That overflow comes out and gets onto other people.
Yeah, I love that idea of doing it out of overflow. Now, guys, if you've been listening to this, you can probably tell that Joseph is full of overflow. And he has an awesome TikTok channel. Just before we close, when you pivoted into this, you decided to launch these ideas on TikTok, because, as you said, you were well known for funnels and ads and that kind of thing, and certain social platforms, that was where your message was and that's what people expected from you. I don't honestly know if you had TikTok or whatever before this, but you took out a brand new account a couple of months ago just to explore these kind of themes and to give your reflections. And I know you've got some sort of video clips from other sources and stuff on there. So why TikTok, and how's that gone?
Yeah. So this is, sorry if you can hear that, we're having a thunderstorm here. So if you hear the loud noise, that's what that is. So there was twofold. One is I did create it in March. So it was when I created my TikTok account, and I wanted to, one, grow a new community of people that are just pursuing life and wanting to improve their life, but then also improve their work. I think life and work are things that provide very big significance for us. And as a business owner, I find a lot of entrepreneurs or solopreneurs or people that are trying to do a side business really struggle with the mental game. So they might be very good at putting a ladder against a home. Metaphorically, they climb up, they get to the top, and they're like, oh, this isn't where I want it to be. And they kind of struggle with that of making a goal, reaching a goal, but then not really being where they want it to be. So that was true for me in some circumstances as well. So I wanted to start a new channel. I wanted to start providing different type of content outside of marketing. And I thought, you know, let me just bring some people along as I do this so they can see how a marketer grows something. So some of it was just to take a small group, another mastermind. I have a marketing mastermind. And I wanted to show people how I'm actually growing a community and how they should grow their coaching business, their consulting business. So part of that was that. So in about 12 days, it got over 1,000 people on that TikTok account, which gets into just a really good marketing tip for anyone listening to this is I run ads as my business. But what TikTok is doing as far as the amount of reach that they're giving, most people can't pay for that in a monthly ad budget. But TikTok is giving it for free. So part of the strategy was to say, hey, this is where it's not just a trend. It's been, you know, the last few years. Mm-hmm. So part of what I'm showing the group is do whatever you need to do. Some of them need to be on LinkedIn because that's where their clients are. Some feel Facebook is good for them. But I'm saying, even with that in mind, watch how I'm growing this on TikTok. I'm not, you know, rehearsing the videos. I'm not reading a script. I'm not heavily editing them. I'm just getting on in a t-shirt, sometimes a hat, if I don't feel like doing my hair, and recording a video. And other people out there, if you have a business that you're growing, this is a great way to send people to your website. This is a great way to get in front of a lot of people. And that's why I chose TikTok. And this is just something that I do care about. And when I look at myself and my business, this is something I can do for the next 20 years. And that was important for me to do the type of work I want to do when I'm 60 plus years old. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Joseph, I could talk to you all day. I really could. But with the intention of, you know, not losing the listenership as we enter our fourth hour of a podcast show. Hey, look, we can arrange another episode to go further into some of this stuff at a later date. But where, if people want to, obviously you're on TikTok, you're mm-hmm. Joseph Bojang on TikTok from memory. Where if people want to reach out to you, what's the best places they can find
you? Yeah, I would say the best place is just to reach out on TikTok. It's actually Joseph.Bojang. A young kid has Joseph Bojang, so I couldn't get it. I had to put the dot in there. But then you can also check my website. I have some free resources there. It's just josephbojang.com if people want to check that out. And yeah, so I look forward to it. And I will say if you are on TikTok and you follow me, I do go to all the accounts of people right now I do that follow. And if you're creating content, I'll follow back. One, because I'm trying to create community. But there's a lot of people that aren't creating any type of content. So I think it's important for all of us to know if you have a business and you want to be known for something to start creating because not many people do.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, I spoke to Brandon on the show an episode or two ago and yeah, we focused a lot around, portraying, using your values to differentiate yourself from the competition and essentially attract people through the way that you think by mm-hmm. creating content and how that content works in a sort of two-way manner. Mm-hmm. And that was a great show. Brandon's yeah. also when it comes to that. Brands on brands. You see, it's not just me that says that.
Yeah.
Joseph, thanks again for your time, mate. I really appreciate you being on the show. And yeah, just thanks for being awesome. And go and check out his TikTok channel, guys, because I honestly, I'm not a massive TikTok user. I am one of those lurkers that has an account. I don't think I've ever created anything on there. Might have to change that. But the Yeah, just Joseph's channels, it's full of great like nuggets of information. He's such a cool guy, and you know, you can tell that the stuff you put out there, like with this episode, is just scratching the tip of the iceberg. So really appreciate your time and your expertise, man.
Thanks for having me, Pete.